go through with you at least chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now again, some revision of the book of Numbers. As I said, there are many what? Numbers. Numbers to count. So today you also have to do some counting for me. So that's numbers. Right? I think it's good that before we look into this, let's bow our head and pray together first. Ask the Lord to help us. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can study your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true, your word is pure, and your word is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So Lord, we pray that your word will sanctify our lives even as we spend time to study, to know, to meditate on it. And Lord, you continue to guide us with your truth and help us our lives will be lived according to your word. So bless our time together. May your Holy Spirit continue to lead and guide us into thy truth and be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, if you still have your notes of part 1, you still have it. I hope you have it. And behind the last, this is the previous time when I shared to you, you remember the journey of the book of Numbers. Now, it's very easy to remember the first 5 books of the Bible. Right? You remember Genesis, you remember the creation, right? God created the world. And then God called a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham, you must go to the promised land. And from Abraham, God will form a nation called Israel. And so Abraham, his son is Isaac, and then his grandson is Jacob. Still remember? And Jacob, from there, he has 12 sons and they multiply. And finally, they ended up in Egypt. But after a while, what happened? Right? The Egyptians were not happy with the Israelites. And so they were all made slaves. And they were slaves for 430 years. So you come to the book of Exodus. And God raised a man called Moses. And God remembered the promise that he made to Abraham. A lot of us will have forgotten 430 years, right? Even a lot of things yesterday we also forget. But God never forget his promise to Abraham. God said from Abraham there will be a great nation. And this nation is very important. Remember, Israel is a special nation chosen by God. Not Singapore, right? Not Singapore, not Indonesia, not Philippines, but Israel. And so this is a nation that God will form, and God will ensure that he will preserve this country, because after that, many years later, Jesus Christ will be born, not in Singapore, but in Israel. So this country, Israel, will be formed by the hand of God. And you find that when you come to the book of Exodus, God will use Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So you have Exodus, right? Genesis, Exodus. And then if you remember, when they left Egypt, they crossed the what? The Red Sea. God opened the Red Sea. And then they were at this place called Mount Sinai. They went all the way down south to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is a place that they stopped. Right? They stopped for a long time. They were there. And in the book of Leviticus, God gave them all the laws. So you find there are many laws in Leviticus. Right? So we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, then Numbers is what we are studying. So number will say, now you are at this Mount Sinai. It's time for you to what? Move and go into the promised land. And so when they move, they're supposed to enter the promised land about 1.5 years after they left Egypt. But they sinned against God, and he took them all together 40 years in the wilderness. And so they wander for how many years? 40 years here before they finally end up near Jordan, about to grow into Israel. That's the end of the book of Numbers. And the book of Deuteronomy, like the three books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, will tell you now is the time to enter into the promised land. They are just there at the edge of it. Just cross River Jordan, now you reach the promised land. And of course Moses, he cannot enter the promised land. So you find that in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, right, was taken home by the war, and another person by the name of Joshua, his successor, right, took over, and they revised through all the laws again before they enter the promised land. So you can see the first five books, right, the sequence, and you understand it very well. Alright, so today's notes, you look at today's notes, and you find, I just put 3 points as how we revise of what we have learned the last time. Right? The book of Numbers, you find that it is a record of the 40 years. 40 years is a long time. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Those of you army boys, you go to camp, right? 1 week and we complain. Wow, so hard. Right? 40 years right in the wilderness, you got to pitch your tent, you got to dismantle, you got to move, pitch your tent, look for 40 years, and then the book of Numbers will end when Israel is about to enter the promised land. So it's a record of about 40 years of the journey. And also in point 2, take note of this, this is important to understand the period of time. They left Egypt, the Bible says, on the 15th day of the first month. And altogether, when they travel from Egypt, past the Red Sea, go down all the way down south in the Mount Sinai, right, it was a 2.5 months period, right, they reached Mount Sinai. But they remained in Mount Sinai, right, for a long time, 10 months and 20 days. Why? It's very important. Because at Mount Sinai, they received the what? The Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. At Mount Sinai, they receive all the instructions, how the laws, the government, the priests, the Levites, and so on. So 10 months and 20 days. So don't ever think that it is wasted. A lot of time, sometimes we always say, chong ah, I want to serve, I want to do this, I want to serve the Lord. But a lot of time there must be what? Preparation period, training period. Right. So before you really say, I want to serve the Lord, I want to preach at Ebenezer, maybe Jeshua, that's what you want. I want to preach at Ebenezer. But before you do that, you have to what? Prepare yourself, study God's word. So this is what we call the preparation period. Right. For children of Israel, they have 10 months, 20 days at Mount Sinai before they start to move off. Same as Moses. Remember Moses' life? The center part of the 40 years is what? Preparation. 40 years as a shepherd before God finally said, now you go and lead the children of Israel, the last 40 years. So a lot of time in our life there must be preparation, and God is going to prepare us, and there is that grooming, there's that development time. So remember that. Now point 3, the last message. If I don't ask you, don't look at the notes, and you look at me. How many people, remember last time we counted, how many people that in the book of Numbers they start to count, right, because they're going to war, they're going to battle. So how many people, the men above 20 years, fighting men are there? Look at me. How many? 603,550. So that was the counting. If you go to Numbers chapter 1, you find that that was the total number of soldiers. 20 years and above fighting men that they counted. So if you base on this number, roughly you can estimate how many people were there that Moses was leading. Right? This is a man, they say he has a wife, he has one child, he times 3. Right? So times 3, easily about 2 million people. So 2 million, right? So we have 2 million Israelites there. 2 million. On the lead one Ebenezer small group also very hard. 10, 20. 2 million people. If everybody start to complain and murmur, can you imagine how many complaints Moses every day he has to handle? It's tough. 2 million, but God gave him the grace. And you find that we have 12 tribes that were counted, but one tribe was not counted. Which tribe was that? The tribe of Levites, the tribe of Levites, because God said they are not to be the fighting men. They are not supposed to go to war. The tribe of Levite is special, is chosen to be the one who will look after the tabernacle. Right? So you find that we will study more about it today. But altogether, you find that how come there are 12 tribes? So remember there are 12 sons of Jacob. Very soon, after you study numbers, you remember all their names, like the twelve tribes. And actually, the 12 sons. So if you take away the 12 Levites, what happened is that the son of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim are added in. So you end up their 12. So if the Levite, actually they are 13. So Manasseh and Jacob blessed the children of Israel. They say, this is also my son. So Manasseh, Ephraim, actually they are the children of Joseph, but they are counted as two separate tribes. So you end up with 12 tribes. Alright, now let's turn your Bible. Turn your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 2. And you'll find that in chapter 2, this is very... the chapter also with some numbers. Now you understand the numbers. I'm going to ask you to do some counting for me. We have read just now Numbers chapter 2 verse 1 to verse 9. Now this is what the entire chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 34, you find that this is how God has given the instruction, right, in verse 1 to Moses and to Aaron. This is how you must order the camp. Now remember, this comes from the Lord himself. And this is how, when you are stationary, 2 million people, bear in mind, 2 million people, and this is how you're going to position yourself. This is the order of the camp. When you are stationary and you are camping, right, everybody must have a place, right, to camp. Right? This is my place, this is your place, this is your place. And God has given specific instruction how each of the 12 tribes will be positioned. So I want you to do some homework. Do some homework now. And from one, maybe I start off to make it easy for you. You find that from verse 3 to verse 9, this is how they're going to position yourself, right, in the camp, right? In any direction, there's always north, south, east, west, right? The tabernacle is always in the center. The tabernacle, when they're stationary, is always in the center. And they are guarded by the tribes north, south, east, west. So now you look at verse 3 to verse 9, and it tells us that on the east side, right, the east side, east is the rising of the sun. The sun rises from where? East, huh? So on the east side, there will be three tribes. Can you find the name of the three tribes? So can you write it down? Just now we read, right? You have the tribe of what? Judah. I just give you a hint. And then in verse 5, you have on the east side also the tribe of what? Issachar. And also, you find that in verse 7, you have the tribe of Zebulun. So these three tribes, Judah, Issachar and Zebulun, they are positioned where? On the east side. And then you add up the total number of the fighting men, you find that that's in verse 8. Alright, so can you do me your homework first and help me to fill out all the numbers on part 1A, B, D and E, on the east side, on the south side, on the west side and on the north side. Right, write down all the tribes. East side will have three tribes. Very orderly. You find it really very orderly. On the east side, altogether 12 tribes, right? Remember? So God put them 3, 3, 3, 3. East side, 3 tribes. And for me, the total number is all there for you, actually. After this, you will know all the 12 tribes very easily. All the names of the 12 tribes. Maybe I should teach you how to pronounce it. So I've really given you first example. The east tribe, eastern side, they have Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. Total number is what? 186,400. That is part A. Now you do south, west and north. So today the weather is very warm, so it's good that you do some homework. And you don't fall asleep. Also learn how to spell all the 12 tribes. And maybe one day we will test you all the 12 tribes. everybody can follow? You got your 12 crabs and the total number. After you have all the total number, right? Of north, of east, south, west, north, right? Then you add up this four total number and you tell me, is it equal to 603550? You can use your calculator, eh? You can use a handphone to add up, eh? So you appreciate the book of numbers, eh? Now, a lot of numbers. One day when you teach someone else to book a number, then you know, make sure you know all the numbers. Now you add up all the, if you have done, add up all the four numbers, right, on the east, south, west, north. Use a calculator to add up. You get it, correct? Then you know whether you're right or wrong. This is called mathematics also. When you do maths problem sum in exam, after you get all your answer, you should also check your answer. Okay, you got it right? 603550? Alright, good. Yesha, you got it? And all your phone number. You can double check with your person beside you. Make sure all your answer is right. It's not easy. One score. Okay, the score is 20. Remember, one score means equal to what? 20. So when you add up, one score is 20. So 2 score means what? 40. I mean, say 5 score means 5 times 20 is 100. Okay, so you use this. This is 1000 means 12. If you are done, then try to read through the names of the 12 tribes. Try to remember, right? Because we're going to come across these names quite often. If one day you get married and you have 12 sons, can name after the 12 tribes. Right? Then you have to think so much about the names. Alright, all done? Still about there, about there. Add up, correct? Add up all the four total numbers, you should get 603550. Okay, fine, all ready, all done, okay. All answer correct. So on the eastern side, as I mentioned, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, total is what, 186,400. How about southern side, which are the three tribes together? Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Alright, what is the total number? 151,450. Correct? Alright. How about the western side? Which are the three tribes? Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. What's the total number? Yesha, what's the total number? This one. Are you there?
108,100.
Alright, how about the northern side? Which are the three tribes? Dan, Asher and Naphtali, and what's the total number for Yen? You haven't finished. Alright, what's the total number? Think high.
157,600.
Yes, 157,600. 157,600. So if you add up, you should get 603,500. You should be right, mathematically. This is the order of the camp. Are you all done? Now I want you to picture this. This is very important. Those of you who have been to army, you appreciate this very much. Those of you have gone to this OBS camp. Whenever you go with so many people in the camp, there must be what the position, the order, and it's very important. And where they are going to be stationed, and where they're going to pitch the tent. And so this is to tell us that when the Lord wants the children of Israel, this is when you stop. This is how you're going to position yourself. So you can imagine, right? You can imagine if this is north, if this is south, this is east, this is west. And so on the east side here, right? On the east side, you have the three tribes: Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. Right? This is how they will be there. And also, please see carefully the instruction of the Lord. That even as God instructed them, these are the three tribes that will be there. In each of the tribe, God also said there will be a leader. Right? It's very important. For the tribe of Judah, look at Numbers chapter 2. Right? In verse 3. Can you see the name of the leader for the tribe of Judah? What is his name? Nashon. Can you see his name? Right? And so every tribe will have a leader. Nashon for the tribe of Judah. And then in verse 5, for the tribe of Issachar, you will have another leader by the name of what? Nathaniel, right? That's his name, right? He will take care of Issachar. And then you find similarly in verse 7, for the tribe of Zebulun, there will be another leader, Eliab. I want you to learn this because this is how God instructed them. Three tribes here on the east, each tribe has a leader, and out of the three tribes, God also appointed that there must be within the group one leader. Out of this group on the eastern side, who is going to be the leader? And you find that that's in verse 9. When he numbered them, it's called the camp of Judah. So Judah is going to lead in the eastern side. Now it's going to be the same for the southern side. Right, the southern side. Reuben is going to be the leader of the three tribes. And then for the western side, right, you have Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, and the leader will be the tribe of Ephraim. You can read for yourself in verse 24. Similarly, for the northern side, it will be the leader, which is the tribe of Dan. Now, why am I saying all this to you? And why is God so specific? Do you ask yourself this question? Why is God so particular? I mean, why not Aya Chin Tai La? You want to camp anywhere, just camp la. You want to sleep there, it's okay. You want the right side, left side, north or south. All the tribes go on the east side, nobody on the right side. It's also okay. Right? I mean, sometimes we think that way. Must we have a leader? No leader also camp la. Just chong la, all go there. Must we have anybody in charge? But you find that it is not so. In the plan, in the structure of God, this is very important, very orderly. And this is important such that the whole Israel is well protected. Whether you are the north, south, east, west, any enemy that attack them, right, you have enough soldiers to protect the whole camp of Israel. And where is the tabernacle? The tabernacle, if you go and look at verse 17. Can you turn to Numbers chapter 2, verse 17? And let's read verse 17, yeah, together. Verse 17, and you find that this is so very important. Another lesson for us to learn. Verse 17, let's read together. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their standards. And so where is the tabernacle? The tabernacle is the place that God dwells in. Remember, this is the place that God said, I will be there, and the people will worship. And the Bible says it's in the midst of the camp. That means it's in the center of the camp. You have north, south, east, west. The tabernacle is in the middle, in the center of it. Protected by the people, and the glory of the Lord is there. The presence of the Lord is there. Again, why does God have all this? It tells us that in everything that we do, who is in the center? God must be in the center. God must be the one that has all the glory. And so the whole structure tells us that there is a purpose and a meaning behind it. And not only that, I also want you to take note that in the instruction of the Lord, when they have to move, remember this is how the children of Israel, right? They stop, they move, they stop, they move, they stop, they move. When they stop, this is their position. When they move, means what? March! Right, you are kiri kana, kiri kana, right? And then those of you in the army or in the camp, right, you know who is the right marker, who is the left marker. So who will move first, who will move that? And it's the same. God also instructed them that the first group that will move is what, in verse 9, the eastern group, Judah's group. And then the second group will be the southern group, then the western group, and the northern group. When you just study this, you realize one very important truth is that God is a God of order. And I want you to learn this in this application. The God of order. God is not a God of confusion. Or everything chin chin chai chai. You know what chin chin chai chai? Anyhow. You want to have six stripes here, you want no stripe here, also can. No, God is a God of order. And you find that the instruction given here is very orderly and everything is well planned for, everything is well catered for. And this is how our God is. And this is the pattern that God wants us in our lives. You remember creation. Just if you remember the book of Genesis creation, right? Genesis chapter 1, and how God created the world. It's very orderly. God is very orderly. Which one come first? The fish come first or the sea come first? Which one did God create first? God created the sea, right? The water. Then after that, then God created the fish so that the fish can live in the sea. Which one come first? God created the air, the atmosphere, and then after that, then created the bird, right? So that the bird can fly. And God created the land first, the vegetation. Then later God created the what? The animals and men, so that you have a place to live in. You see, it's very orderly. God enabled the sun to rise from the east and set on the west. One day you wake up, you say, hey, the sun forget to rise. Hey, the sun, never. No, it doesn't happen. God put the earth and the sun at the right distance. Again, it's all very orderly. And this is our God, God of order. And I want you to learn this application, even as you study Numbers chapter 2, that our life must be one that's orderly. The way we live our life must be orderly. Now, you don't turn your life upside down. Right? And you, every day, people sleep, you wake up. People wake up, you sleep. Right? A lot of young people, and then, I don't want to sleep, I don't want to sleep. And so, I don't want to sleep. So, they play computer game, play until what, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, early morning. It's supposed to be sleeping time. And then they were playing. And then when they wake up, it's like afternoon, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And so the day becomes night and the night becomes day. And we destroy our own life. We are not orderly. We must follow the way, the pattern of the Lord. And that is to be orderly in our life. Systematic, orderly. And that's how it should be. You see, the way the Lord is, everything is planned. So in our own life, make sure that our life is lived in orderly ways. And it's the same, not only the way we live our life, the way we pattern after God in the way we structure our life. When you want to study for the exam, for example. Never mind, today study math, tomorrow feel like studying geography. Next day, don't feel like studying, don't study. No, there's no order. It is, but you see the pattern that God has laid for us. There's order, there's planning, there's preparation. Everything is systematic. Who is going to be here, right, who is going to be there, and it's correct. 3, 3, 3, 3. That's the best combination, right combination. And so it's the same when you want to pattern after the Lord, follow our God, the God of order. So your life must be also structured, and you know that if this is my exam, this is my subject, this is how I should prepare myself, right? I give myself 3 weeks, 4 weeks to prepare. I must study how many days in maths, how many days in science, how many days in geography, so that it's equal, so that by the time exam starts, I study everything. And not suka-suka, sometimes I want to do this, I don't feel like doing it. Then it's all disorderly. So, you see, God set us a pattern for our life, that the way we do it got to be orderly. So it's for our life, for our study, for our work. Next time you go to work, it's the same. It's going to be structured. Some of my colleagues, right, every time say, oh, very busy, cannot do. Because the way they structure their work is not orderly, not efficient. They don't know what is priority, what is important, never write down, never remember. So every time for me when I work, everything that I need to do is all write down. I have a big schedule on my table and I know Monday I must do what, Tuesday I must do what, and I write down, make sure that everything I need to do is all to be done, and I have a clear plan. We follow after the pattern of the law. So when you study, you have a clear plan. When you work, you have a clear plan. And it's the same as our church life. Our church life is same. Ebenezer, right? When you chair a meeting, Rachel, you have an order, right? You say, I just come and chair lah, anything lah. Song? Message now, it's okay. Right? Games now, right? No order. Right? God is a God of order. So we got to follow order. So you chair, you have an order. And this is how God wants us to be, see? Because that's the way, the pattern of the law. So when we go to our worship service on Sunday, is there an order? When to stand up, when to sit down, when to sing the glory, patriarch, when to give an offering. There's an order, is there an order of worship? Because God is God of order. It's not like today, a lot of contemporary charismatic churches, their worship has what? No order. Anyone can dance and sing, and anyone can speak in tongues, and then shout, and then can faint, right? And then can roll down, and then some of them even have what, holy laughter, they go and then they start to laugh and say, oh, the Holy Spirit is filling. So there's no order, it's chaotic. And they think this is God's work. But if you study the Bible, it's clear God is a God of order, you see. And that's how Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let all things be done right, in order and decently. He told the church, because the Corinthian church were all aspiring to speak in tongues. Everybody say, I must speak in tongues. Everybody wants to speak in tongues. And then the whole church was what? In chaos. So God say, right there be orderly. So our life, our study, our work, right? And our church life, everything must be what? Orderly, well planned, right? And well structured. Same goes to your room. Your table, right? And you're going to mess up everything and throw away. That's not following the pattern of the Lord, see? Because at the end of the day, who will suffer? You will suffer. I can't find my thing. I can't, lost. I don't know where I put all my things. So follow the pattern of the Lord. You see, God give us a pattern, and God showed the children of Israel, and this is very important. The next time when I show to you, even when they move, there's also order. I'm not suka-suka. You want to go first, go lah. You want to go last, also can. It's proper order, how they're going to move in the wilderness. And I hope that we will learn this important lesson. Now, another application is there must be accountability. Right? First, I talk about order. Order in your life. Secondly, there must be accountability. Look at it carefully. Every tribe, there must be one. A leader. Alright? Every tribe, there must be one leader. And then, even within the east group, there must be what? One main leader, Judah. Right, the other one will be a tribe in the southern side, Reuben. Why is it God wants it this way? It tells us accountability. God wants a person to be in charge. If you are in charge, you are accountable. You are the tribe, you are responsible. You are the leader, you are responsible. Make sure all your people follow you. Make sure all of them are pitched their tank correctly. And so, this is something that we can learn the way we run. Yeah? It is not sometimes, anybody want to do it? Do it all? Never mind. You want to do, don't want to do, don't do. We must always have accountability. If this is your role, we appoint you, you are in charge, you are the chairman for today, make sure you prepare yourself, you are accountable to the Lord. Wait, wait. Wait, Where is it now? It doesn't fly out. Okay, first off. So accountability is the second application I want you to learn. Which means to say, when we plan something, we must always assign, this is the pattern of the law. I want you to learn the pattern of the law. Because when you follow God's pattern, that is the right pattern. That's the right thing to do. There must always be someone who is in charge. Right? If IB, you are in charge, right? If they say you are in charge, you have to go marketing, means you have to go marketing. One day there's no food, and we know all who to look for because you didn't do your marketing. Right? It is with our The way we're gonna run Ebenezer is the same. Right? We're gonna have people if you're the chairperson, right, everything is properly. If you're the speaker, I cannot say, oh, today I'm the speaker. I forgot. Never mind, I just read number chapter 1-2, read until the end, finish the message. I cannot do this. I'm accountable. I'm responsible. My name is there. Today is my turn. I make sure I prepare my message. I make sure I prepare the notes. Today you're the chairperson, you're responsible. So each of us is accountable to the Lord. And that's how God sets the way things ought to be done. If you're in charge of the program, right, that's accountability. If you're in charge of the gift, right, make sure you get your gift. Right. If you need help, you ask it. But you are accountable. See? And that's how we're going to do things following the pattern of the Lord. If you're the guitarist, right, you do it. If you're in charge of the games, you do it. So we know who is responsible in what area. And that's how God set the pattern for us. So remember that even next time when you go out to work or you plan something and other responsibilities, follow God's pattern. Always make sure that you know who is responsible.